Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
On a Friday, what a week it's been. I appreciate you being here. I filled in for Dana Loesch today again, so I've been on the air since noon. So I'm very anxious for 7 o'clock to roll around. But it doesn't mean that I need my schedule to change or for me to be able to go to bed earlier. I think Joe Biden saying that last night was a big disgrace. But I think the thing that he said last night that is the tell, and this is why last night's debate was a disaster for him. It really was. The press conference. It was a disaster for him because he said the quiet part out loud, which is that there are other Democrats that can beat Donald Trump. There are other Democrats that can beat Donald Trump. I want to remind you of something, and that is this. Barack Obama is pulling the strings here. He's in charge. And Joe Biden cannot survive the impending Obama onslaught. He just can't. It's not going to work. And that's why more and more people are calling on Biden to get out. They're not coming today reassured by what they heard last night. They're not. It's not happening. In fact, to prove that point, before I get to the Biden clip, let me play this for you. This is David Axelrod. So the axe, David Axelrod, was on CNN, and he said that the attitudes have been hardened by the Biden press conference. He said tonight didn't change anything for them. Cut number 12.
Well, first of all, my assessment was that they made a smart move by having this at the NATO conference, you know, almost like the State of the Union. He's so comfortable in that environment, in the Congress, and, you know, at a NATO conference, which is his strong suit. And in the second half of that press conference, you saw that that's his comfort zone. He's very, very fluent on national security issues. And that showed in those answers. In some of the answers you played, you saw some of the problems. I mean, the misspoken name, the stumbles. The other thing is, you know, at once he says, I need to allay people's concerns, and so I have to be out there more and I have to do more. And at the same time, he complained about the length of his schedule and said, they're putting too many things on my schedule, and that's why I didn't do well in the debate. And that's really the issue. The issue isn't about his record or history, or it's about his ability to move forward. And when he was asked those questions, he really didn't have a great answer for what people should expect in the future based on what they're seeing now. So, I don't think this changed much. I think that a lot of attitudes have now been kind of hardened. I don't think he's going to change them. And one last thing, Caitlin, he said at the end that he might change his mind if his team came to him and told him that he couldn't win. But they haven't done that, or that someone else had a better chance of winning. If that's the case, then they're not really leveling with him about where this race is. And they really should. It's not fair to him if they're not telling him the truth. He is in a very, very tough spot. I don't know anyone in politics who would tell you, who looks at the numbers that we see, would tell you that he has a very good chance to win this race, and that perhaps
all right, that's good. Thank you. That's now New York Times investigative reporter Michael Schmidt was on MSNBC. I'm not going to play the clip, I don't have time, but he did say that Biden's advisors are weighing how to convince him to end his campaign. That is going on. So here's the part last night where Biden really messed up when he said the quiet part out loud. See, up until this moment, Biden's been out there saying, I'm the only one who could beat Trump. I'm the only one who beats him. Nobody else can do it but me. And then he said it last night. He said the quiet part out loud, that there are other Democrats who could beat Donald Trump. Now, I don't believe that, for the record, and I want Joe Biden to stay in. I do. But as part of the absolute flood that is taking Biden out here, the Barack Obama-led flood that is just washing him out to sea along with that Gaza pier, it's that. I think they're having negotiations behind the scenes. I think they're talking about how to get him out of the race. I think his aides are having the conversations. I think for Biden, it's all about, what can you give me? What's going to be my golden parachute here? And when he said this last night during the debate, take a listen, or the press conference.
I believe I'm the best qualified to govern. And I think I'm the best qualified to win. But there are other people who could beat Trump, too. But it's awful start from scratch. And, you know, we talk about, you know, money raised. We're not doing bad. I know.
Now, we're not doing bad, he says. However, it's important to note, and this is a clip that was played earlier in the show, but it was on Fox News today. I want to play it again. Donors. Okay, so donors are freezing their money right now. In fact, there was another big event that was supposed to happen in Chicago, a big fundraiser. That's also been put on hold. But here's how $90 million of pledged Democrat money is now officially on hold until Joe Biden gets out of the race for president. Take a listen.
Breaking this hour, New York Times reporting donors have told the largest pro-Biden super PAC that roughly $90 million in pledges are now frozen if Biden remains at the top of the ticket. But this may only be the beginning. Reports claim a coordinated Democratic rebellion is set to unfold during a brutal 48-hour stretch for Biden. An 18th Democrat lawmaker just called for Biden's exit 90 minutes ago. And now we're learning that President Biden privately met with White House Minority Leader Jeffries after his solo press conference last night, where he made several embarrassing mistakes on the world stage.
Okay, now, the other part of this, too, which is really important, is that Democrat Representative Jim Hines also said this. Now, people in politics, you have to realize, when they think that you're going to take them down, when they think you've got these down ballot implications here, I was going to bring you down, that's when they say you're done. All right, you're done. Because people in politics are all about me and what can I do? And this is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. When people in politics think they're going to lose because you're going to bring me down too, that's when people say enough is enough. And that's where they are right now. So here's Democrat Representative Jim Hines, one of the many people who's called on Joe Biden to get out of the race, being pushed by, I'm sure, Barack Obama, cut number 20.
But the hard reality is, and I'm far from the only Democrat who believes this, that the numbers, the trajectory, what Americans feel in their bones right now suggest not only that Joe Biden would lose this race, but that he... or we would lose the Senate and the House. And the stakes are so high that we need to set aside that loyalty and that poetry and that romance and the charge of the Light Brigade, and we all go down together in favor of some really hard-nosed analysis.
They're all going to go down. That's the point that he's saying. Now, I've told you that Barack Obama is pulling the strings here. He's behind this. And the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, the vampiric one is also helping do this. So last night, after Joe Biden got done with his presser, which again, you know, very scripted, very on teleprompter, he calls on members of the press. He starts off by going, I have these reporters here I got to call on. You know, they got me a list here. No Peter Ducey, no one really challenging him. As Al Sharpton said, no black journalists either calling on Joe Biden last night. I thought that was interesting. You lost Reverend Al today, along with Rosie O'Donnell. But the CNN panel, Obama and Pelosi are the behemoths. They're still calling the shots here. They're the ones who've got the influence. They're the ones who have the power. Cut 19.
Apparently huddling together in some fashion to figure out what is the best path forward and the future. And Congressman Jim Hines was warning that democracy may not avert a second Trump presidency. You served in House leadership. What do you make of these conversations that are happening and not in front of the camera?
Well, it's natural. When I think they're confronted, as they perceived to be, by the performance of the president 2 weeks ago and the fallout ever since. So especially from the people on the hustings, the people out there on the frontline districts, you know, they're the most vulnerable Democrats. And they're talking to the leadership. It's the job of leadership to listen to these folks, gather that information. They're looking at the polling. They're looking at DCCC polling, looking at DSCC polling. They're begging the White House to give them more information. And they're looking at the media and the polling that they're doing as well. They're gathering all that. I think Hakeem Jeffries is doing that. I think Chuck Schumer is doing it. I think Nancy's doing it, obviously, too. And look, both Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi, they are two stalwart leaders of the party right now. They, even though they don't hold the titles anymore they once had, they are still behemoths when it comes to their ability to persuade.
But the key is the future. And this is something.
All right, thank you. That's good. And that's just it. Exactly. That's it. I mean, it's they're behind the scenes here, and they're working on all of this right now. So but that guy, Jim Himes, by the way, who I played, he called on Biden to drop out after the presser last night. That's what I mean. It's not getting better for Joe Biden. The presser last night did not save him. I know some people think it did, but it didn't. Now, look, I hope he stays in the race. I do. I think Trump will beat him. I think Trump will beat Kamala Harris, too. I'm not particularly worried about it, but I just have to point out to you the fact that, yeah, I mean, he's hemorrhaging support. Now, Trump has said his vice presidential pick comes down to three people. Apparently, this is what's being reported. It's either going to be Rubio, or it's going to be Doug Burgum, the governor of North Dakota, or it's going to be J.D. Vance, a senator from Ohio. Of those three, I would say the smart money would be on J.D. Vance. Donald Trump Jr. just tweeted out another video of Senator J.D. Vance from his Senate campaign announcement speech. He's also introducing whoever is the VP nominee. And apparently Donald Trump Jr. is all in on J.D. Vance. Makes a lot of sense. I don't see Rubio. I think that the Florida issue, that's not going to help. Having the fact that Rubio is going to have to resign from his Senate seat and move, that's number one. Burgum, I don't think the guy brings anything to the table. I think he'd be great in the cabinet, and I'm sure he will be in the cabinet, but he doesn't bring anything to the table. Whereas J.D. Vance is, first of all, he's a lot younger, and he also wrote the book Hillbilly Elegy, so he understood and he saw firsthand the struggle in the Rust Belt and why Trump was able to capture this coalition. And the guy, he brings the thunder. He doesn't hold back. He's not afraid to go out there and fight hard. And Trump likes a street fighter. Now, obviously, I'm not predicting, and I don't know if it's going to be one of those three. I have no idea. And it could change a million times between now and when the announcement's finally made. Trump said to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton today, this is kind of like The Apprentice. So they're going through several rounds here with all this stuff. And ultimately, you know, they'll be the final pick. But we'll see. The one thing, though, is that as the Republican National Convention kicks off in Milwaukee, and we'll be there live next week, we're going to be doing the show from there, from Radio Row. We're going to be very excited about that, have some great guests stopping by, and we'll bring you all the action as it's taking place. The thing that I think is really important to understand is that Trump's lead right now in these swing states is so strong that you're talking about winning potentially blue states now. I mean, you're talking about flipping blue states. And Axelrod said it too. I mean, he said Biden's odds for 2024 are incredibly slim. I mean, he's predicting a landslide right now. He wrote this on Twitter. He said, quote, if what he said at the end of the presser is true, it sounds like Biden's team has not been very candid with him about the data that's showing. The age issue is a huge and potentially insurmountable problem for Joe Biden. It's a insurmountable problem. And look, Axelrod is Obama's guy. You know what I mean? But if Joe Biden had a 10-point lead right now, nobody would be saying these things. They're saying these things because Joe Biden is losing. That's the reality. Now, the other point, too, is that I think we need to have, and I've said this before, a stop the swap campaign. You have to educate the American people on what they're going to try to do, because there is no statute that's going to prevent this. There's no FEC, Federal Election Finance Law requirement that's going to stop this either. If they swap Biden out, and they do it according to the rules of the DNC, even after that, I just don't see a single judge saying the Democrat nominee cannot be on the ballot. And I've lived through this firsthand with Jersey, but I also saw what the Pennsylvania Supreme Court did in 2020 with regards to the time, manner, or the place of the election. And I think if you're relying on the courts, that's a bad move. So you got to have a campaign, an active campaign to say stop the swap and let the American people know what's coming. By the way, Maxine Waters not looking good these days. Auntie Maxine is not looking good, but she did endorse Joe Biden, so she's still on the Joe Biden train. And her reason is sound for her endorsement of Joe Biden. Cut 28.
We're now at a point in time where people are talking about Biden is too old. Hell, I'm older than Biden. I want to tell you, no matter what anybody says, it ain't going to be no other Democratic candidate. It's going to be Biden, and we better know it.
You've been waiting all week for me to play that.
Oh, I put it on the show sheet every single day. I've been dying for a dose of Maxine Waters.
I mean, hell, I'm older than Biden. Well, we're not voting for you either, Maxine.
There's another,
just for the record.
There's another great clip of her going around. Unfortunately, it's a visual. It doesn't translate over the radio. But it's her doing an interview with CNN, and her hair gets messed up mid-interview, not paying attention to anything that the host is asking her. She's just hell-bent on fixing her hair.
I saw that. It's hysterical. She's just awesome. Fixing her hair, not even listening. Not even listening to what anybody's saying. Hell, I'm older than Biden. Well, all right then. That makes sense to me. You should definitely back him. No doubt about that. Hell, I'm older than everybody. Wow. I'll tell you, what a week it's been. What a friggin' week it's been. I'll tell you what. So we're excited for the Democrat, for the Republican National Convention next week. And then we'll be live at the DNC, too. I don't know what's going to change between now and then. Probably a lot. But remember something. This is not where the Democrats want to be right now. Heading into the RNC, they don't want to be dealing with the fact that they may not even have a nominee yet. That's not a good place to be. I think it's the one thing we can all agree on is that. It should be that. And here's something else, too. You know, when you think about the late night comedians all turning on Joe Biden, too, and Hollywood turning on Joe Biden. Who's calling the shots? So Donald Trump today tweeted out that Barack Obama is behind all of this. He posted this on Truth Social, and I retweeted it, and I kind of rolled my eyes, I just kind of pointed those, you know, thing where you look at it. And the guy who used to be the morning drive host on this radio station, Michael Smirkanish, back in the day, just tweeted out so much bad news this afternoon regarding Joe Biden that it's truly difficult to keep up. Sad, unsustainable, and was entirely avoidable. As I said last Saturday on CNN, it is when, not if. And breaking news, a judge just threw out the case against Alec Baldwin in Rust. Wow, there's been a stunning turn of events as the case unraveled in front of their eyes today amid the defense unveiling that prosecutors hid evidence of bullets. All charges have been dropped against Alec Baldwin after the shooting and killing of a crew member on the set of Rust. How about that, huh? So I just wanted to share with you Trump's post that I said, quote, Obama and Biden hate each other. Obama never respected Biden, thought he was dumb and a total lightweight, and will be an interesting couple of weeks. Obama wants him out, wants VP Harris in. So that is from Donald Trump that just came out. Okay, so a short time ago. Well, there we go. All right. I got more to say, but I want to tell you a great story about how Philadelphia is honoring a hero of D-Day, and a bunch more to get to as the show continues here in our fourth and final hour. So again, breaking news, all charges against Alec Baldwin have been dropped in the Rust case, as they say prosecutors hid bullets. And there you go. That's some major developments right there. And we'll be right back.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, as we continue along here on a Friday evening, our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, I wanted to share an article for you that my friend Megan Kersey sent me early this morning. And it's written by Major General Timothy Brennan. Now, I know the family, and they're wonderful people. Meg and Doug are great people who listen to the show, and I know Major General Timothy Brennan's wife, and I know the family quite well. They're wonderful people. So this was a really, really touching piece that the general wrote for the Philadelphia Inquirer. For an African-American hero of D-Day from West Philadelphia, a long overdue moment in the spotlight. Waverly B. Woodson Jr. treated 200 casualties on Omaha Beach. Segregation and racism largely prevented him from being honored. On Friday, a street in his old neighborhood is being renamed for him. On the morning of August 24, 1944, the Inquirer ran an article about a hometown hero. The dateline was vague, somewhere in France, but the story was detailed. Army medic Waverly B. Woodson Jr., a 20-year-old Philadelphia native and Lincoln University pre-med student, had landed in D-Day's first wave. Severely wounded by German shelling, he, quote, helped bandage and administer plasma and sulfa throughout the day and night, helped evacuate the wounded when the tide came in, and continued first aid operations until 4:30 the second afternoon. The Army would credit him with treating 200 casualties on the deadliest stretch of the invasion beach before nearly collapsing from fatigue and blood loss. A Pittsburgh Courier story about the Overbrook High School graduate ran days later. The headline, Hero Number One of Invasion. Woodson, one of the few black soldiers in D-Day's first wave, may have been a household name in Pennsylvania for a brief time in 1944. But he and his heroism were largely forgotten in the ensuing decades. That changes this week when the city of Philadelphia renames the street where Woodson was born and raised, North 58th Street, Waverly Woodson Way. Woodson's story has touched me personally, the Major General writes. I, too, am a Philadelphia native, and I currently serve in the 1st Army, the historic Army unit that led all ground and airborne forces on D-Day. On June 6, 1944, then-Corporal Woodson's shoulder bore the same Block A patch I wear on my uniform today. For years, 1st Army has advocated for proper recognition of Woodson's remarkable acts. It was announced last month, just a few days before the 80th anniversary of D-Day, that he would be posthumously upgraded to the Distinguished Service Cross, the military's second highest medal for bravery. Some of our troops who were in France for commemoration events took the medal that will be presented to his wife, Joanne, to Omaha Beach. And they laid it on the sands where Woodson saved so many. The Valor upgrade will come in Washington later this summer. The street renaming in Philadelphia will occur Friday afternoon. He writes, I've thought a lot about what I want to say to my fellow citizens of Philadelphia as we honor Woodson. I want to acknowledge that it is long overdue for the Army to award Woodson's gallantry. In 1944, that didn't happen due to a perfect storm of realities. An Army segregated by race and riven by racism, the fog of war, lost records, and infighting among its leaders. But I also want to point out that every time we tell Woodson's story, every time we honor his service and sacrifice, we do our part to correct the injustices he endured on behalf of our great, but sometimes imperfect, nation. Those of us who have had the responsibility of leading America's sons and daughters in combat know one thing. We who wear the cloth of this nation are just ordinary citizens who love our country enough to do extraordinary things when the country calls. Woodson was an ordinary young man from an ordinary Philadelphia street who became extraordinary on a bitter, windswept morning that changed the course of human history. Woodson was undoubtedly shaped by the city in which he was raised, the heart of colonial America, where the founding fathers penned our most famous declarations to freedom and liberty, as well as a family with a true heart for military service. Even as Waverly fought his way onto Omaha Beach, his younger brother Eugene was an officer with the Tuskegee Airmen, the famed all-black unit of military fighter pilots. Marion Station resident Paul Newman and Philadelphia City Council member Curtis Jones Jr. undertook the effort to rename North 58th Street with one simple goal: to inspire a new generation of Americans by drawing attention to the actions of a member of the greatest generation. It is my hope, he writes, that the young men and women who today walk the streets of Waverly Woodson Way will know that they, too, can achieve extraordinary things. He writes, in the Army, we often say we stand on the shoulders of giants. Woodson is one of our giants. He died in 2005 and was a 1st Army soldier 8 decades ago, but we still consider him and his family many of whom still call Philadelphia home, our responsibility. It is our duty to ensure he is remembered. Our thanks go to the city and people of Philadelphia for helping First Army do just that, and even more, for raising the ordinary, extraordinary citizens who have fought for this nation from our earliest days and who fight for us still. Major General Timothy Brennan is First Army's Deputy Commanding General for support. Well, General, I salute you. We thank you for your service, sir. We thank you for this beautifully written editorial in the Philadelphia Inquirer. And we certainly thank Waverly Woodson Jr. and his family for their heroism. This is a wonderful thing. This makes me very happy. I actually have chills reading this story. And you know how important D-Day is to me. I know how important D-Day is to you. And it is wonderful that we're honoring such a great hero. It truly is. It makes me very, very proud. It makes me very happy. I'm actually looking at the article from the Philadelphia Inquirer on August 24th, 1944, which recounts the D-Day heroism of Waverly Woodson. So the general put it in the article. Negro unit praise for aid to General Patton. It was written by Louis Gannett as a special cable to the Inquirer and the New York Herald Tribune. And it says, somewhere in France, after driving 500 miles with Brigadier General Benjamin O. Davis, the only Negro general in the American Army, inspecting Negro units between Cherbourg and the front, I know this. Negro troops are carrying the brunt of supply job without which Lieutenant General George S. Patton's dramatic spearhead advances would have been impossible. They do the work well. They do it best when they have most to do. Many would like to have more and more responsible work to do. One of the happiest units. One of the happiest units in the Army is the Heavy Field Artillery Battalion, which did so well in the First Army that the Third Army asked for its service. The most famous Negro group in the base area is a medical unit attached to an anti-aircraft battalion. They went on the third landing barge of the first wave on D-Day, and the rudder of the ship was knocked out by a German shell. The helpless ship drifted sideways to the shore some miles from its intended landing point under heavy fire. The ship was under heavy machine gun fire when it grounded, but an officer ordered the ramp down, and after two or three attempts, the forward tank got off, followed closely by Private Warren Capers of Kentridge, Virginia, driving a weapons carrier with equipment for a first aid post. The unit hit the beach at 10:20. Corporal Waverly Woodson Jr., a pre-medical student at Lincoln University before he entered the Army, had been wounded in the groin just before the landing, but he was too busy to do anything about it. With Staff Sergeant Albert Bell and Corporal Eugene Worthy, both from Memphis, he helped bandage and administer plasma and sulfa throughout the day and night, helped evacuate wounded when the tide came in, and continued first aid operations until 4:30 the second afternoon. Then Corporal Woodson started to get his own wound treated at another station. There you go. Well, it's an extraordinary story. I'll share the link to it from the Inquirer. And again, thanks to Major General Timothy Brennan, First Army's Deputy Commanding General, for writing such an important piece. And God bless him and God bless Waverly Woodson Jr. We'll be right back. All right, as we continue along here on our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHG, thank you for being here on a Friday. Appreciate it very, very much. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. What a week it's been, huh? What a week it's been. Next week, we'll be live at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. I'm excited for that. We'll have lots of special guests stopping by. Great people who can come see you and talk to you. And we'll be right there in the center of the action. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. I want to mention two things for you this hour. I know we've talked a lot about politics, but I want to mention a couple things. And that is that with all the challenges in the world, you gotta wonder about something. And that is this. If you think about it, if you think about the future of where we're going and where everything is going, you gotta wonder how Vice President Trump is feeling at this moment, or how President Putin is feeling at this moment.
Thank you. My question for you is, how are you incorporating these developments into your decision to stay? And separately, what concerns do you have about Vice President Harris's ability to beat Donald Trump if she were at the top of the ticket?
Look, I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she's not qualified to be president. So let's start there. Number one.
Thank you.
Number one, I wouldn't have picked. First of all, President Trump would never be your vice president, ever. He would never, ever be your vice president, for the record. All right? Just letting you know that. I'm just letting you know. Did you hear John Rich's new song, Revelation? It's fantastic. Revelation, featuring Sonia Isaacs. This is how we get into a great mood for Friday night. Am I right? Am I right?
Dancing in the flames, the people cursed his name, bowed at the altar of the father of lies. But there's a number to their days and all their evil ways. The Lord's gonna turn away from all their cries. Coming back again. Brimstone upon their heads, millstones around their necks. They'll feel shaken when the trumpet sounds. And no matter where they hide, there'll be nowhere to run when Jesus puts his mighty foot on the ground.
Nice.
I can feel it coming like a dark train running. Cold, get ready, cause the king is coming. The king is coming back again.
It's got a good rhythm to it, baby. I like it. Oh, you know, a little bit later in this hour, I'm going to, I don't even know what I'm saying because the show's probably coming to an end before the hour ends. I don't even know what I'm saying. I've lost track of time. I've been on the radio since 12 o'clock today, filling in for Dana Loesch. So now I've just completely lost my mind. I did want to mention, though, you know, with everything we're talking about, we've talked a lot about politics. Disney is gross. I mean, Disney's really gross. Disney co-sponsored a naked LGBTQ+ IA every letter of the alphabet pride parade for kids. Disney co-sponsored the Seattle Pride, which included adult male nudity. Now, I want to remind you of the Seinfeld rule, all right? There's good nudity and there's bad nudity. This is some grade A bad nudity, just so you know. It's some bad nudity. None of these people in this parade should be naked. But startling internal documents put out by James O'Keefe that an insider source at Disney has provided him with startling internal documents and communications, which reveal Disney's promotion of pride events for children that involve naked men. Maps of Disney-sponsored pride parades nationwide.
Our brave whistleblowers on the inside of Disney have given us an inside look at Disney's internal communications hub, internal employee websites, group chats and bulletin boards, Disney's company employee roster, and their Slack channel threads. And what we've discovered is so shocking that it makes the Disney tape series look like child's play. Literally, the Disney employee named Honey Harrison, who is promoting a Disney-sanctioned and sponsored Seattle Pride event via the Disney Slack channel. As we dug deeper into what she was marketing, we found it was an LGBTQ Pride event sponsored by Disney and meant for kids of all ages. Children, very young children, were there to see it all. Compliments of the Walt Disney Company. Did you just see that? Fully naked men on bicycles in front of children, brought to you by the Walt Disney Company. Well, now we know exactly what Jeannie Jernani, the creative marketing director, meant when he said the, quote, unspoken truth.
That's the unspoken thing.
the journalist discovered that Disney has a not-so-secret partner named Zebra Youth. Zebra Youth is a program that was formed to assist LGBTQ youth as young as 13 years old, and Disney seems to be all about it. And hidden from the public, Disney actively promotes the Zebra Youth program, and if it were not for our brave Disney whistleblowers, insiders shining a light inside this company, we would not be able to bring this shameful practice to light. As you can see in this Disney Pride Slack channel, Disney employees are passing around documents of poly swingers, virtual hangouts, pride nights, gay meetups, and even, yes, queer Zoom backgrounds that can be used when employees are on company Zoom calls. Why is Disney so obsessed with pushing LGBTQ and trans programming at young children? Why is it that Disney, a brand that at one time was best known for enhancing the childhood experience, by all appearances has morphed into an organization that is hell-bent on stealing your childhood's innocence and prepping them to be grown into a den of groomers and predators? So now I welcome...
Well, you know, the answer is because they've been infiltrated by woke college kids who graduate from woke colleges and then go to work for them. Look, I mean, for example, this one parade here in Seattle Pride, and there's kids all around. There's all these fat, naked guys on bicycles. First of all, I think fat men who are naked is disgusting anyway, and I would pass a constitutional amendment to ban it just in general. But I mean, naked men are just gross, in my opinion. But you know, I'm a straight guy, so I'm biased. But there's good naked and bad naked, as Seinfeld always said. This is all bad naked. This is some bad, bad naked is what this is. None of these people here should be naked. And then on bicycles, that poor bike seat. Can you imagine what that bike seat is going through right now? Honestly, can you imagine what that bicycle, what that thing must smell like at the end of the bike ride? Oh, God. Now that is how you torture someone. You make them smell that bike seat. For these fat, naked LGBTQ parade goers. Are done biking around. People on bicycles annoy me in general. Sorry, Road Warrior, but they do. Not that you'd be in this parade, but I'm just saying. Except for those that bike in the Bend of the Shore bike ride. Obviously, and it's an exception to that. I mean, you're all wonderful people, but I'm talking about mostly the people in the Philadelphia city streets who almost hit me as I try to cross the street because they don't stop for pedestrians because they think they don't have to. But this is just gross. All going around by kids. Happy Pride! Ugly, naked people on...
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Zioli Show, on your schedule, from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, as we continue along here on a Friday evening, our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, I wanted to share an article for you that my friend Megan Kersey sent me early this morning, and it's written by Major General Timothy Brennan. Now, I know the family, and they're wonderful people. Meg and Doug are great people who listen to the show, and I know Major General Timothy Brennan's wife, and I know the family quite well. And they're wonderful people. So this was a really, really touching piece that the general wrote for the Philadelphia Inquirer. For an African-American hero of D-Day from West Philadelphia, a long overdue moment in the spotlight. Waverly B. Woodson Jr. treated 200 casualties on Omaha Beach. Segregation and racism largely prevented him from being honored. On Friday, a street in his old neighborhood is being renamed for him. On the morning of August 24, 1944, the Inquirer ran an article about a hometown hero. The dateline was vague, somewhere in France, but the story was detailed. Army medic Waverly B. Woodson Jr., a 20-year-old Philadelphia native and Lincoln University pre-med student, had landed in D-Day's first wave. Severely wounded by German shelling, he, quote, helped bandage and administer plasma and sulfa throughout the day and night, helped evacuate the wounded when the tide came in, and continued first aid operations until 4:30 the second afternoon. The Army would credit him with treating 200 casualties on the deadliest stretch of the invasion beach before nearly collapsing from fatigue and blood loss. A Pittsburgh Courier story about the Overbrook High School graduate ran days later. The headline, Hero Number One of Invasion. Woodson, one of the few black soldiers in D-Day's first wave, may have been a household name in Pennsylvania for a brief time in 1944. But he and his heroism were largely forgotten in the ensuing decades. That changes this week when the city of Philadelphia renames the street where Woodson was born and raised, North 58th Street, Waverly Woodson Way. Woodson's story has touched me personally, the Major General writes. I, too, am a Philadelphia native, and I currently serve in the 1st Army, the historic Army unit that led all ground and airborne forces on D-Day. On June 6, 1944, then Corporal Woodson's shoulder bore the same Block A patch I wear on my uniform today. For years, 1st Army has advocated for proper recognition of Woodson's remarkable acts. It was announced last month, just a few days before the 80th anniversary of D-Day, that he would be posthumously upgraded to the Distinguished Service Cross, the military's second highest medal for bravery. Some of our troops who were in France for commemoration events took the medal that will be presented to his wife, Joanne, to Omaha Beach. And they laid it on the sands where Woodson saved so many. The Valor upgrade will come in Washington later this summer. The street renaming in Philadelphia will occur Friday afternoon. He writes, I've thought a lot about what I want to say to my fellow citizens of Philadelphia as we honor Woodson. I want to acknowledge that it is long overdue for the Army to award Woodson's gallantry. In 1944, that didn't happen due to a perfect storm of realities. An Army segregated by race and riven by racism, the fog of war, lost records, and infighting among its leaders. But I also want to point out that every time we tell Woodson's story, every time we honor his service and sacrifice, we do our part to correct the injustices he endured on behalf of our great but sometimes imperfect nation. Those of us who have had the responsibility of leading America's sons and daughters in combat know one thing. We who wear the cloth of this nation are just ordinary citizens who love our country enough to do extraordinary things when the country calls. Woodson was an ordinary young man from an ordinary Philadelphia street who became extraordinary on a bitter, windswept morning that changed the course of human history. Woodson was undoubtedly shaped by the city in which he was raised, the heart of colonial America, where the founding fathers penned our most famous declarations to freedom and liberty, as well as a family with a true heart for military service. Even as Waverly fought his way onto Omaha Beach, his younger brother Eugene was an officer with the Tuskegee Airmen, the famed all-black unit of military fighter pilots. Marion Station resident Paul Newman and Philadelphia City Council member Curtis Jones Jr. undertook the effort to rename North 58th Street with one simple goal: to inspire a new generation of Americans by drawing attention to the actions of a member of the greatest generation. It is my hope, he writes, that the young men and women who today walk the streets of Waverly Woodson Way will know that they, too, can achieve extraordinary things. He writes, in the Army, we often say we stand on the shoulders of giants. Woodson is one of our giants. He died in 2005 and was a first Army soldier 8 decades ago, but we still consider him and his family, many of whom still call Philadelphia home, our responsibility. It is our duty to ensure he is remembered. Our thanks go to the city and people of Philadelphia for helping First Army do just that, and even more, for raising the ordinary, extraordinary citizens who have fought for this nation from our earliest days and who fight for us still. Major General Timothy Brennan is First Army's Deputy Commanding General for support. Well, General, I salute you. We thank you for your service, sir. We thank you for this beautifully written editorial in the Philadelphia Inquirer. And we certainly thank Waverly Woodson Jr. and his family for their heroism. This is a wonderful thing. This makes me very happy. I actually have chills reading this story. And you know how important D-Day is to me. I know how important D-Day is to you. And it is wonderful that we're honoring such a great hero. It truly is. It makes me very, very proud. It makes me very happy. I'm actually looking at the article from the Philadelphia Inquirer on August 24th, 1944, which recounts the D-Day heroism of Waverly Woodson. So the general put it in the article. Negro unit prays for aid to General Patton. It was written by Louis Gannett as a special cable to the Inquirer and the New York Herald Tribune. And it says somewhere in France, after driving 500 miles with Brigadier General Benjamin O. Davis, the only Negro general in the American Army, inspecting Negro units between Cherbourg and the front, I know this. Negro troops are carrying the brunt of supply job, without which Lieutenant General George S. Patton's dramatic spearhead advances would have been impossible. They do the work well. They do it best when they have most to do. Many would like to have more and more responsible work to do. One of the happiest units. One of the happiest units in the Army is the Heavy Field Artillery Battalion, which did so well in the First Army that the Third Army asked for its service. The most famous Negro group in the base area is a medical unit attached to an anti-aircraft battalion. They went on the third landing barge of the first wave on D-Day, and the rudder of the ship was knocked out by a German shell. The helpless ship drifted sideways to the shore some miles from its intended landing point under heavy fire. The ship was under heavy machine gun fire when it grounded, but an officer ordered the ramp down, and after 2 or 3 attempts, the forward tank got off, followed closely by Private Warren Capers of Kendridge, Virginia, driving a weapons carrier with equipment for a first aid post. The unit hit the beach at 10:20. Corporal Waverly Woodson Jr., a pre-medical student at Lincoln University before he entered the Army, had been wounded in the groin just before the landing, but he was too busy to do anything about it. With Staff Sergeant Albert Bell, and Corporal Eugene Worthy, both from Memphis. He helped bandage and administer plasma and sulfa throughout the day and night, helped evacuate wounded when the tide came in, and continued first aid operations until 4:30 the second afternoon. Then Corporal Woodson started to get his own wound treated at another station. There you go. Well, it's an extraordinary story. I'll share the link to it from the Inquirer. And again, thanks to Major General Timothy Brennan, 1st Army's Deputy Commanding General, for writing such an important piece. And God bless him, and God bless Waverly Woodson Jr. We'll be right back. All right, as we continue along here on our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHG, thank you for being here on a Friday. Appreciate it very, very much. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. What a week it's been, huh? What a week it's been. Next week, we'll be live at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. I'm excited for that. We'll have lots of special guests stopping by. Great people who can come see you and talk to you. And we'll be right there in the center of the action. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. I want to mention two things for you this hour. I know we've talked a lot about politics, but I want to mention a couple things. And that is that with all the challenges in the world, you gotta wonder about something. And that is this. If you think about the future of where we're going and where everything is going, you gotta wonder how Vice President Trump is feeling at this moment, or how President Putin is feeling at this moment.
Thank you. My question for you is, how are you incorporating these developments into your decision to stay? And separately, what concerns do you have about Vice President Harris's ability to beat Donald Trump if she were at the top of the ticket?
Look, I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she was not qualified to be president. So let's start there. Number one.
Thank you.
Number one, I wouldn't have picked. First of all, President Trump would never be your vice president, ever. He would never, ever be your vice president, for the record. All right? Just letting you know that. I'm just letting you know. Did you hear John Rich's new song, Revelation? It's fantastic. Revelation, featuring Sonia Isaacs. This is how we get into a great mood for Friday night. Am I right?
Dancing in the flames, the people cursed his name, bowed at the altar of the father of lies. But there's a number to their days and all their evil ways. The Lord's gonna turn away from all their cries. Coming back again. Brimstone upon their heads, millstones around their necks. They'll feel shaken when the trumpet sounds. And no matter where they hide, there'll be nowhere to run when Jesus puts his mighty foot on the ground.
Nice.
I can feel it coming like a dark train running. Cold, get ready, 'cause the king is coming. The king is coming back again.
It's got a good rhythm to it, baby. I like it. Oh, you know, a little bit later in this hour, I'm going to, I don't even know what I'm saying because the show's probably coming to an end before the hour ends. I don't even know what I'm saying. Yeah, I've lost track of time. I've been on the radio since 12 o'clock today, filling in for Dana Loesch. So now I've just completely lost my mind. I did want to mention, though, you know, with everything we're talking about, we've talked a lot about politics. Disney is gross. I mean, Disney's really gross. Disney co-sponsored a naked LGBTQ+ IA every letter of the alphabet pride parade for kids. Disney co-sponsored the Seattle Pride, which included adult male nudity. Now, I want to remind you of the Seinfeld rule, all right? There's good nudity and there's bad nudity. This is some grade A bad nudity, just so you know. It's some bad nudity. None of these people in this parade should be naked. But startling internal documents put out by James O'Keefe that an insider source at Disney has provided him with startling internal documents and communications, which reveal Disney's promotion of pride events for children that involve naked men. Maps of Disney-sponsored pride parades nationwide.
Our brave whistleblowers on the inside of Disney have given us an inside look at Disney's internal communications hub, internal employee websites, group chats and bulletin boards, Disney's company employee roster, and their Slack channel threads. And what we've discovered is so shocking that it makes the Disney tape series look like child's play. Literally, the Disney employee named Honey Harrison, who is promoting a Disney-sanctioned and sponsored Seattle Pride event via the Disney Slack channel. As we dug deeper into what she was marketing, we found it was an LGBTQ Pride event sponsored by Disney and meant for kids of all ages. Children, very young children, were there to see it all, compliments of the Walt Disney Company. Did you just see that? Fully naked men on bicycles in front of children, brought to you by the Walt Disney Company. Well, now we know exactly what Jeannie Jernan, the creative marketing director, meant when he said the, quote, unspoken truth. The journalist discovered that Disney has a not-so-secret partner named Zebra Youth. Zebra Youth is a program that was formed to assist LGBTQ youth as young as 13 years old, and Disney seems to be all about it. And hidden from the public, Disney actively promotes the Zebra Youth program, and if it were not for our brave Disney whistleblowers, insiders shining a light inside this company, we would not be able to bring this shameful practice to light. As you can see in this Disney Pride Slack channel, Disney employees are passing around documents of poly swingers, virtual hangouts, Pride Night, gay meetups, and even, yes, queer Zoom backgrounds that can be used when employees are on company Zoom calls. Why is Disney so obsessed with pushing LGBTQ and trans programming at young children? Why is it that Disney, a brand that at one time was best known for enhancing the childhood experience, by all appearances has morphed into an organization that is hell-bent on stealing your childhood's innocence and prepping them to be grown into a den of groomers and predators? So now I welcome.
Well, you know, the answer is because they've been infiltrated by woke college kids who graduate from woke colleges and then go to work for them. Look, I mean, for example, this one parade here in Seattle Pride, and there's kids all around. There's all these fat, naked guys on bicycles. First of all, I think fat men who are naked is disgusting anyway, and I would pass a constitutional amendment to ban it just in general. But I mean, naked men are just gross, in my opinion. But, you know, I'm a straight guy, so maybe it's unbiased. But there's good naked and bad naked, as Seinfeld always said. This is all bad naked. This is some bad, bad naked is what this is. None of these people here should be naked. And then on bicycles, that poor bike seat. Can you imagine what that bike seat is going through right now? Honestly, can you imagine what that bicycle, what that thing must smell like at the end of the bike ride? Oh, God. Now that is how you torture someone. Make them smell that bike seat. For these fat, naked LGBTQ parade goers are done biking around. People on bicycles annoy me in general. Sorry, Road Warrior, but they do. Not that you'd be in this parade, but I'm just saying. Except for those that bike in the Bend of the Shore bike ride. Obviously, and it's an exception to that. I mean, you're all wonderful people. But I'm talking about mostly the people in the Philadelphia city streets who almost hit me as I try to cross the street because they don't stop for pedestrians because they think they don't have to. But this is just gross. Woo! All going around by kids. Happy Pride! Ugly, naked people on bicycles. Little kids there. And the parents that take their kids to see this, I don't understand how this is appropriate in front of children. I really don't. I don't get it. How is it appropriate for parents to take their kids to see naked people on bicycles? And why is it appropriate for the city to allow naked people on bicycles in front of children? I don't understand this. I don't get it. I don't think you have a First Amendment right to bike around naked in front of kids. That's not considered protected speech. I sure as hell hope it's not. I'm going to be naked in front of other naked adults, but I mean, we're talking about children here. These are like little kids too. These are young kids. So I just wanted to share that with you. Let's see. So Let's see. I wanted to – there's a lot. There's a – Thomas, I just want to play this John Stewart clip for you. So John Stewart, who has been very funny lately, as you know, and I think he's been I'm glad he's back at The Daily Show because he's a funny guy and he's meeting the moment, I guess you'd say, right now. And what he's been saying about Joe Biden lately has been very accurate to the point of making the left very angry at him. And so since the left is angry at him, I thought, well, this is perfect for us then, because if the left's angry at John Stewart, he must be doing something right. So here's what John Stewart said about Joe Biden. I agree 100% with this. Take a listen.
I think that you are soft selling the more fundamental aspect of people viewing somebody who, I'll be perfectly honest with you, I don't know of a job interview that you could have gone on and delivered the performance that was delivered by Joe Biden and gotten a job. And I'm not talking about the presidency. I'm talking about like cashier at Home Depot, like a job that you would not think, okay, that is the hardest job in the entire world.
Right. Right. Or Walmart greeter or something else like that. I don't think Biden could do that because I don't think he would be able to tell people where the aisles are. You know what I mean? I'm just saying he can't tell people if he walks in and goes, assuming unless they're asking for Depends or formula or I don't know, pudding or something. Beyond that, I don't think he can let people know where anything is in the store. They'd ask him a question and he'd turn around and he'd go, over there by Putin. And he'd send people down the wrong aisle. He'd send people down the wrong aisle. That's what would happen. And, you know, James Clyburn, this whole thing about Biden's got a stutter and he's overcoming a stutter. This is not about a stutter. Nobody thinks that. Bottom line is this. Joe Biden's going to lose and the Democrats are not going to let Trump win. So they're going to make a swap because they have to, because otherwise Trump's going to win. The lesser Castro, Julian Castro, has come out and he said the Biden has to go. I mentioned that earlier in the show today. I mean, it's just over and over again. Molly Ball says the feeling is Pandora's box has been opened and it's just not possible for Biden to continue. A Democrat donor said Biden's presser did nothing to change my mind. I can't unsee what I saw at the debate. That same donor said Democrat leaders need to grow a spine and say what they're really believing. David Axelrod's point on this was very spot on as well. Look, the bottom line. Look, as Biden would say, Les. Look, the idea that if Biden had a 10-point lead right now, nobody would care. This is not about dementia. You know that it's not about dementia. If he was beating Trump, they'd be like, he's great. Who cares? Let him stay. It's the fact of the matter is, Joe Biden is losing. That's why Joe Biden's going to be out of this race. They don't care if he's senile or not. He's not even calling the shots. He's a puppet. It's a freaking puppet regime. If he had a 10-point lead, do you honestly believe dementia or Alzheimer's would be a concern of these people? Of course not. He's always been a moron, but now he's a moron with dementia. Doesn't matter. If he was winning in the swing states, if he had a 10-point lead in Pennsylvania, we wouldn't be having these conversations right now. Democrats will do whatever they have to do to win. And I keep getting tweets from people telling me about ballot deadlines. Listen, with all due respect, seriously, I mean this, with all due respect, I guess you don't listen to the show. Because I've explained to you before what happened in New Jersey in October of 2022 when they changed out Robert Torricelli. After the deadline had passed and the Supreme Court unanimously said that they had to make the change, that there had to be a Democrat on the ballot. So stop sending articles about ballot deadlines and all these other things. These are obstacles that you follow because you are a law-abiding citizen. The Democrats are not, and the courts are not either. So stop believing that that's going to be the thing that saves us. The only thing that saves us is letting the American people know it's coming, and so that when it does happen, they're angry about it. If you're relying on a judge to save you, if you're relying on state statutes to save you, you have not been paying attention to how the courts have completely done whatever the Democrats want in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and how many other states around this country where they shut down efforts to investigate any election impropriety. They changed the time, manner, and place of elections. You're really sitting here telling me that some state statute about ballot deadlines is going to stop these people? Please, I'm begging you on a Friday night. Here's what Axelrod said.
David, we played what Jim Clyburn said when speaking on the Today Show this morning. What do you make of what Clyburn's saying? What is his message? What do you hear?
Well, look, the president made an unequivocal statement at the beginning of the week that he was in to stay in his letter to Congress, and yet all of the congressional leaders, and including Speaker Emeritus Pelosi, are saying the same thing, which is, well, we, you know, it's up to him. We want to give him time, room to decide. It's his choice. But the implication is that he may have made an unequivocal statement, but he ought to reconsider it. And I think they're trying to give him room. Listen, Jim Clyburn, nobody loves and respects Joe Biden more than Jim Clyburn. But there are certain immutable realities of politics. And while the president, I don't know what his aides are telling him, but he's in a very tough spot right now to win this election. And if they're not telling him that, they're doing a disservice to him.
Yeah. Attitudes have been hardened by the Biden press conference. It's time for some tough conversations. He said that last night. Biden did himself no favors. No favors whatsoever. Have a great rest of your night. The Great One, Mark Levin, is up next. Enjoy it. Have a great weekend. Thank you for listening. Keep the conversation going on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.